Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. Scientists from the United Nations state that raising animals for food is one of the major causes of environmental problems, including global warming, land degradation, air and water pollution, and loss of biodiversity. Growing crops to feed farm animals is vastly inefficient, driving up the price of grains and entrenching global poverty. The challenge to produce enough food for 9 billion people by 2050 requires a more efficient system and less food waste. The Good Food Institute works with scientists, investors, and entrepreneurs to discover improved methods and use all the tools of science to uncover new ways of producing healthy and nutritious food. GFI, as it's known, has placed a focus on clean meat and plant-based alternatives to animal products. Foods that are more delicious, safer to eat, and better for the planet than traditional production methods. Food scientists around the world are examining animal products at the molecular level and sourcing plants with matching proteins and nutrients to create tasty, plant-based meats, eggs, and dairy products. GFI provides marketing, design, legal, business, and other support to a select number of early-stage companies producing clean and plant-based products. It also acts as an aggregate source of research and innovation, and it also attracts new sources of funding from government and the private sector towards its goals of advancing the science of plant-based and cell-based meat. In one of its ventures, GFI initiated a request for proposals and recently awarded $3 million in funding for plant-based and cell-based meat research. The RFP received 66 submissions from 18 countries. 14 projects will be funded through GFI's inaugural competitive research grant program. We spoke with Aaron Rees Clayton, senior scientist at the Good Food Institute.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation today. The Good Food Institute is a nonprofit organization that exists to answer what we think are two of the biggest questions facing our global food system today. And those questions are, how can we feed the world's growing population, which is expected to be almost 10 billion people by the year 2050? And how can we do that in a way that is good for people and the planet? And so, as what we think of as two of the most promising solutions to those questions are plant-based meat and cell-based meat. When we say plant-based meat, essentially what we mean are meat products that are made from plant ingredients. Typically, these have been things like veggie burgers or plant-based sausages. And on the cell-based side, what that means is that using techniques of tissue engineering, we're actually able to produce meat, a product that is at the cellular level analogous to existing animal meat. But instead of raising an entire animal, we're able to produce just the part that is consumed, so the actual meat product. So GFI exists to help advance the plant-based and cell-based industries.
The Good Food Institute doesn't actually do the research. You sort of connect scientists and investors and entrepreneurs. Am I correct in that?
Yes, you are correct. We have four primary programmatic areas. One is our science and technology department, and that's the department I'm part of. And so we work closely with researchers in both academic settings and private industry to help connect them to partners, help them find funding. We work with funding agencies to try and mobilize research funds to support these areas and act as, you know, technical advisors to assist these research projects. Our other department areas work, our innovation team works with entrepreneurs and startups and tries to get more people thinking about how they can advance these industries. And then we have a corporate engagement team that works with existing food companies, and a policy team that works on regulatory issues.
So you said you're nonprofit. How do you get your funding? Where does that come from? And how do you distribute that money that you get?
Yes, so that is true. We are a nonprofit, which means we are 100% supported by gifts and grants from donors who share our vision for what our future food system could look like. And so those are very generous and passionate individuals who make the work that we do possible. And so our four primary departments that I mentioned, along with our international team, who is taking the work that we're doing primarily in the U.S. and translating that to other regions of the world, the money that GFI gets goes to support those areas and our operational work. And then the competitive grant program is a new program that we just launched last year, thanks to some of our various generous donors who felt like the best use of their gifts would go towards GFI being able to directly fund and support important research projects in both plant-based and cell-based meat research.
Okay. Now, I'm certain that our listeners, all of a sudden, their ears perked up when they heard about funding and a competition grant. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to ask two questions. One, how did it get its start? How did the organization get its start? What was the spark that did that? And two, isn't this something that government should be doing, connecting scientists and research and providing some funding and making the connections with corporations that are already in the business?
The start really came from the recognition that as much discussion and effort that was out there that was talking about behavior change or, you know, what decisions consumers should make regarding products they eat, whether that's from a health standpoint or an environmental standpoint, the results of those discussions weren't having as large of an impact as we might want them to have. And I think that, you know, our theory of change is that's because when people are in the grocery store shopping for food, we're really thinking about how things taste and how much they cost. And so recognizing that's what's driving a lot of consumer decision making, GFI was really launched out of a desire to not try and change people's behaviors, but to try and present them with food products that taste as good as products that are out there, cost the same or less, are available and, you know, easy to cook at home. They're familiar, but that would be produced in ways that are better for the environment. And so really, it's not about us trying to change people's behaviors. It's about trying to provide them with better options. So that's really what sparked the creation of GFI.
When did that start? How long has GFI been in operation?
We just celebrated our third birthday a month ago. GFI was founded on February 1st of 2016.
And sorry, go on to why isn't government doing this?
Yeah, I think our ultimate goal would be that government would be involved with this. I think there's definitely a role for them to play. And we're starting to see examples of that happening. Earlier this week, the government of Singapore announced hundreds of millions of dollars of investment into food tech and cell-based meat. So it's starting to happen. Singapore is not the only country where we're seeing that investment. The Indian government, in collaboration with GFI, has also announced their support of a cell-based meat research center in India. So it's starting to happen, but it wasn't happening at the time that GFI recognized the need, and some of what we've been doing is really trying to partner with government agencies to help them figure out what role they can play and how to make that happen.
With the backlash of genetically modified foods in parts of the world, can you sort of ease my mind about the technologies that are being researched and looked at? Walk me through that whole GMO kind of a question.
So cell-based meat is not something that has to be GMO. The way this process works, and it's really pulling from a lot of advancements that have happened in the biomedical industry in the past several years. There's been a lot of work done, for instance, in biomedical research to better be able to grow muscle tissue, such as a heart, for human heart transplant. And so that same technology, if it can be used to grow heart muscle, can also be used to grow other types of muscle, which is what meat is. And so the way this process works is you start by taking just a small sample of cells from an animal. The biopsy that you take, the sample of cells, needs to be no bigger than the size of like a sesame seed. So it can be done very easily and safely by people who are trained to take these biopsies. And essentially, you can take that small sample of cells and feed them the nutrients and the sugars that they need in the lab and allow those cells to divide and grow as they would if they were still in the animal into a muscle tissue or meat sample that at the end looks, tastes, smells, and at a cellular level is the same as the meat that is produced in the animal. So there's no need for that process to include genetic modification or, you know, have any types of techniques done to them that would then require them to be labeled as a GMO, because essentially these are just the animal cells that are growing and dividing and forming that final product. We still aren't seeing any of these products on the market, so you cannot go to the grocery store yet and buy a cell-based meat product. There's still some more research and development that needs to be done to really get us to a product that, you know, has the taste and is able to have the mixture of muscle cells and fat cells in the product that's going to give you that sensory experience that we expect when we eat animal meat. But there are several companies that have started up recently, and through academic research as well, we're working on addressing the technical questions that will get us to that point.
So generally, you're looking for a solution that sort of avoids the traditional agricultural farming techniques of raising cattle or whatever animals, with the whole GHG and the methane emissions, et cetera, the consumption of water, the total land base that's required. Am I correct in that? That's what you're trying to avoid. And then the second step is then starting to work on the texture, as you say, the taste, et cetera, because we've all tried different vegan options and said, you know, this really doesn't taste like the steak or the hamburger that I'm used to. So is that the driving force is from an environmental point of view, is saying, you know what, we, as you said at the top, you want to feed all these people and the growing population, but you also want to help mitigate the environmental impacts. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, I'm really excited, and GFI is as well, about what's happening in the plant-based meat space. And there's a lot of exciting research and innovation happening. And I think we're going to see plant-based products getting better and better from the standpoint of appealing to a wider range of consumer because they are more closely mimicking animal meat products. But I think also that there are going to be consumers who really just want to eat animal meat. And so the cell-based meat then is going to give them that experience, but in a way that does mitigate many of the environmental issues that you mentioned.
Is there a lot of research out there, or is this an emerging field?
So I think emerging is a great way to describe this field. There have been, you know, plant-based products on the market for decades now, but we are starting to see a change in how those products are being made and a growing interest in developing new products. These products aren't being viewed as products for a vegetarian or vegan population. They're really being produced with an eye towards being an option for omnivores or flexitarians, which are people who, kind of a new term that has arisen to describe people that are choosing to eat less meat. They still consume meat, but maybe for meatless Mondays or, for whatever reasons, just want additional choices and want some of those choices to be plant-based. So there has been research, but I would say that it's starting to grow to get more kind of interest from a wider variety of researchers and scientists. And for both plant-based meat and cell-based meat, we're seeing a lot of the R&D coming from existing companies and startups, which is great. That's really important. Those are the companies that are going to be able to get products on grocery store shelves and in restaurants. But where the gap is right now is kind of in that academic setting, in this pre-competitive space research. There's still a lot of what I would call basic science questions that we need to answer. And so what GFI is doing is really trying to help accelerate the research happening in that space as well.
And that's one of the reasons you started the Competitive Research Grant Program. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we ended up awarding 14 research grants across both plant-based and cell-based meat research. So 8 of those went to researchers working on plant-based meat research, and 6 of those went to researchers working on cell-based meat research. And yes, the impetus of this program, again, that we were able to do thanks to our generous donors, was because we saw this gap. And so while we are working with other external funding agencies to talk to them about, you know, how these research areas may fit within their existing mission and priority areas, we saw a place for GFI to step up and say, okay, we don't currently see that funding happening. We're going to do what we can to try and help get some of these projects underway.
One of the recipients of the Competitive Research Grant Program is Professor Mario Martinez and his team at the University of Guelph. Their 2-year focus will be on the study of plant-based meat that will give meat lovers the textures they savor in beef, chicken, or fish, while retaining the human and environmental health benefits associated with eating plants. The market for plant-based meat is expected to reach $1 billion in retail sales next year. I will welcome 2 distinguished guests from the University of Guelph, Professor Mario Martinez and Iris Yoyi. I hope I've pronounced that name correct. You're from the University of Guelph, and you received recently a grant from the Good Food Institute, a research grant to study plant-based meat. So walk me through what plant-based meat is, and then we'll dive into it a bit further.
So plant-based meat, according to our understanding, is simply to try to create or at least this is what the project is about, to try to create a steak fully made from plants, but that still tastes or resembles the, in terms of texture and flavors, like a beef steak or other type of whole muscle tissue meat product.
University of Guelph is well known for its agricultural background. Again, kind of work me through that little process. Obviously, I'm aware what plant-based things like tempeh and other soy products are, but then you're talking about trying to reproduce the texture and the fiber of something like a steak. So what, if without revealing all your secrets, what kind of process do you use to generate that steak kind of flavor and imitation?
Well, you're correct. Like a lot of the products that are currently on the market, they don't really have the fibrillar structure, which we know from whole muscle meat products. So we had to combine our expertise, which is pretty complementary within the research team. So like my colleague already said, we are going to make nanostructures, nanofibers, basically through some technology that we master here at the university. And after that, we are going to also do some high shear processing in order to build that structure on longer scales as well. We have complementary expertise that would really make it possible to make that type of structure, mm-hmm. which would surpass whatever you can now find, for example, in tofu, where you don't have that fibrillar structures.
The fibril structures, right. And you're using plants as a base, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Okay. Any particular plant, or, again, is that another one of your secrets?
Nope. So we would like to use locally grown plants, so we are going to combine different sources of grains, pulses, so different plants that we don't have to source from very far away. Mm-hmm. So locally grown, Ontario grown cereals mm-hmm. and pulses.
Okay. And does it matter what plant you're using, or are there specific kinds of plants because of their fibrous nature perhaps that you need to use?
So in that sense, we already identified some of the materials that could be working, but at the same time, we are not close to them, and we are willing to outsource other potential materials that could work pretty well. And within those materials, we're also considering some waste streams from food manufacturers. So also we want to add value to some waste streams if possible. This is also one of the objectives.
You mentioned that it's at the nano level. So are we talking about a petri dish kind of a thing? Is that where you start from?
Oh, no, not at all. Actually, so there is two types of meat. There's like the ground beef type products, which is like the burger. And then there is the steak. So the difference between them, among other things, or in terms of texture, is mostly the fibrous-like texture that they provide. For example, in the burger, there is no much fibers there, but in the steak, we really need the fibers to be chewing the steak and to have that feeling. A very successful product that have been developed through cell culture in a petri dish. The problem with that is that you cannot really fully obtain to form those fibers, or to try to create like a material that resembles whole muscle animal tissue. And to do so, there is other techniques that need to be developed and that are different than the conventional cell growth.
So it sounds like the texture is a very important component. What's more important, the texture or the taste?
Well, I would say both of them are equally important. We believe that the taste can be is less of a challenge to attain a good taste, but obtaining the right texture, that's a big challenge mm-hmm. there.
And that's the biggest focus of our project as well. So we are really focusing predominantly on the texture.
You're one of a number of different research facilities that received grants from the Good Food Institute. Are you aware of what the others are studying, or are their approach or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. So, if I'm not mistaken, there were 12 or 14 awardees, and half of them would be working on cell-based meat, and the other half would be working on plant-based meat. We still didn't start the project. Actually, we were awarded, but the project is starting in May 1st. And we are going to San Francisco to the Good Food Conference there. This is going to be, I think, a very good opportunity to meet with all of them. I was already contacting contacting the people from the Good Food Institute to attend that congress, and that will be the first time that we meet, and I expect that we all will be presenting results, and not only to the rest of the awardees, but also to potential industry partners that will be there, including Beyond Meat or other companies that are developing products in this area.
Now, as I said before, that there are already some products on the scene. You know, the one fast food company has Beyond Beef Burger, which is not the same as steak. It's a ground up kind of a product. Mm-hmm. And one of the larger meat companies in Canada, Maple Leaf, has also launched a series of plant-based burgers. They call it Light Life. Is the idea of the steak kind of a higher level? Is it harder to achieve than the ground meat product?
Yeah, achieving that texture, that fiber-like texture, is really a challenge. There's not a lot of products on the market yet that actually try to achieve that goal. Yeah. So it's for sure a bigger challenge to have that long-range structuring in your product.
At least I would say it's a bigger challenge nowadays. It called our attention the amazing job that some researchers did at attaining plant-based burger, which is amazing. The taste and everything is incredible. So I don't think so. I think that is already developed. I think that burger is amazing. I really like it. But to the best of our knowledge, now there is no plant-based meat steak or plant-based whole animal tissue structure. Right. To the best of our knowledge, we identified. We had a chat, Iris and I, yesterday about. Can you comment on that problem that we saw with the?
Yeah, so there are other research groups who are, of course, also working on this type of structure. So we know that there's quite some activity in this field. There are some products that, for example, resemble chicken-like meat or the fibrillar structure that are currently under investigation and probably also under development already. So there's certainly a market for this type of product, especially because people that want to reduce their meat consumption, they don't like to give up that typical fibrillar structure of typical meat products, whole muscle meat products.
We expect that perhaps this technology for creation of nanofibers could be the precursor to develop any kind of whole animal tissue, not only chicken-like or beef-like muscle tissue, but also perhaps fish-like tissue, which could be interesting, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But we will see how everything goes.
When do you hope to conclude your research? When do you think you might have something to show the world?
That's a good question. Well, this project is a 2 years project, so that is definitely a deadline that we have. Mm-hmm. But we expect to have something, at least a first prototype, perhaps during the first year of the research project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of output, getting to know the structures, getting to know the product, better mastering the process. That will happen fairly quickly, I think. Then the product that will actually hit the market, I would say that will be later. That will be following later.
Yeah, like three, 4 years perhaps.
Right. So those steak lovers will have to wait a little bit.
Yes.
Well, I think a fair number of my listeners are well aware of the impacts that agriculture and specifically raising beef for production involve, the vast amount of water, the methane that's emitted. So I think anything that brings us closer to removing some of those problems is worthwhile. I'm going to conclude by just saying I wish you all the best and success, and look forward to maybe eating a plant-based steak sometime in the future.
Yeah, we too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.